Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, on this holiday weekend, Thanksgiving Friday. Jim Fetzer is with family today, and this is Mitch, the producer guy. Hey, guys, hope you're doing okay. He asked me to play some clips, and for you guys, of an interview he did with Michael Deacon. Here it is.
Being a part of the program, it's always a tremendous honor and pleasure to share the air with you.
Well, I just like you tremendously, Michael, and it's obvious your fans, your followers, those in the chat room have great affection for you as well. I'm just delighted to be here.
Yes, I'm pretty lucky. They're a great group of people, I should say, and of course they love you, and people have been asking about you nonstop yet again. They've been wondering what's been going on with the freight train, Mr. James Fetzer. Where's Jim? Where's the professor? And I told him you'd make the return.
Well, I've been doing 10 shows a week.
Oh, my God.
I have one regular Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Revolution Radio from noon to 2 p.m. On Studio B. That's a regular. Most of the others are pre-recorded. You can find them on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. And I have my new blog. This is Posner Legal Team. It's a fictional entity. I'll elaborate. Took my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, in violation of the statutes of Wisconsin for a taking, because a book and a blog are intellectual property. They're not actually money, but Wisconsin statutes require only money can be used to satisfy a monetary judgment. In this case, for $450,000 for a purported defamation, which I deny, but the court found, and where the jury awarded $450,000 in damages. I mean, it was ludicrous on every possible standard. I'll return to this. But the point is, in terms of a taking to satisfy that judgment, if you're dealing with intellectual property, you have to appoint a receiver, and then the receiver puts it up for bids. But in this case, the Posner team wasn't willing to put it up for a bid. They wanted to kill the book. They wanted to kill the blog. And the judge just went right along with it. So since they didn't put it up for a receiver, I have grounds. It was done on improper grounds, improper motivation to suppress it, not to satisfy the judgment. And the judge even openly admitted that in court. So I'm now in the process of going to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, District 4. And I think this is so clear cut, I'm going to be dumbfounded if they deny. In the relation to my earlier case, of course, which I'm appealing now before the United States Supreme Court, more about that, Wisconsin has a very peculiar summary judgment procedure. So even though in my answer I outlined all this evidence, having the FEMA manual for the drill at Sandy Hook, the FBI consolidated crime report for 2012 showing zero murders or non-negligent homicides, manslaughters in Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a suburb that the Connecticut official report by Stephen Sadensky III fails to create a causal nexus connecting the alleged shooter with the weapons he's supposed to use or the victims. In other words, it was an abject forensic failure. I have gone to the Supreme Court because the judge suppressed all my evidence grounds it was unreasonable, which astonishing
it's
to
insane.
Me is allowed in Wisconsin, just allowed in Wisconsin. Judges are permitted to suppress evidence if they don't find it to be reasonable. So at the appellate court, the very court to which I'm now making an appeal regarding the taking of my blog and my book, upheld it and said in consecutive paragraphs, it's reasonable to believe Adam Lanza shot 20 kids and 6 adults in Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012, blah, blah, blah. And then in the next paragraph it says, it's unreasonable if it was a FEMA exercise where nobody died, and even though I had the manual and all that bit. And now I've gone to the Supreme Court for actually a return engagement. It's a fascinating story. I have a motion for a rehearing and includes now in the appendices, which I didn't have in the original, in the appendices I have the FEMA manual for the Sandy Hook event. That's Appendix B. I have an Appendix C. I have the Connecticut State Report FEMA's own schedule showing this exercise, L-366, to be held at Sandy Hook Elementary, was right on its schedule for 14 December 2012. They even provided a convenient map how to get from Bridgeport down to Dickinson Drive, where the school is located. And in addition, in Appendix E, and Michael, you're going to love this, I have an affidavit, a sworn affidavit from a private investigator, a brilliant guy by the name of Brian Davidson, licensed in Texas, who's gone into the Connecticut State files and been studying the photographic record there and comparing the photographs with the official report. Well, for example, the official report says in the hallway, the teacher and the school psychologist, the bodies were there in pools of blood. He's got the photographs, and there's no bodies, no blood. In classroom 10, there was supposed to be a stack of little kids and blood everywhere.
Oh, Jim, how dare you say that, Jim? I mean, don't you have any respect for the victims, Jim? How goddamn dare you? How dare you?
What victims, Michael?
Oh, my.
Get this, just to make this one more point. In the classroom, there are not only no bodies and no blood, but there aren't any school desks or chairs. There's no teacher's desk. There's no evidence that it was being used for educational purposes.
Right,
in other
yeah.
words, in his sworn affidavit, he concludes there was not only no evidence of a mass shooting, but no evidence the school was even open, that what he found is consistent, more consistent with this having been a FEMA exercise than what the government contends.
And how do you feel about the treatment that Alex Jones received? Are you crossing your fingers that something like that doesn't happen to you to that extent, Jim? I mean, you are paying you are being fined a hefty amount yourself, but not the way Alex Jones is. That's a hefty bill there.
Well, Michael, I think it helps my case. I mean, Alex Jones being hit with $1 billion for offering
Holy
an opinion.
Hell yeah.
And I
that
was able
crazy.
To cite that in other cases involving Alex. I think this yeah. has gone so far out of control in violation of the First Amendment
it's
and
gone
proper
too far.
Judicial procedure that the Supreme Court is going to find it irresistible to take my case, because enough is enough. Not only straighten out the summary judgment procedure here in Wisconsin and make it uniform throughout all 50 states, but it's an opportunity for them to affirm the Seventh Amendment, a right to a jury trial applies in each of the states, which oddly enough, through a circuitous historical circumstances, the court has never actually done. But I believe they're going to be further, you know, motivated to do this because of these completely absurd judgments in the Alex Jones cases. And by the way, Michael, I sought to intervene in all three of those when the trials were taking place. But not only did the plaintiffs, the fake Sandy Hook parents, oppose me, which was unsurprising, so did the defendant. They didn't want me there to point out that there's never been a judicial determination
that I didn't know, by the way,
in Sandy Hook. Michael, I know I'm not giving you a word.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, they really did not. They passed on you.
They passed on me. I was willing to. I even offered to Norm Pattis to come in as an expert witness in his trial for damages to explain why. He would have had good reason to offer that opinion, even if they disagreed with the opinion. He would have had good reason for it. There was nothing malicious about it. He wasn't going out of his way, to make something up. And in fact, during one of his interviews with the reporters outside the courtroom, he said, "I'm not the Sandy Hook guy. I'm not the Sandy Hook guy." And I kept waiting for them to ask, "Who is the Sandy Hook guy?" And he would have told them, "It's me."
Yes, that's Jim Fetzer you're hearing right now. That's the Sandy Hook guy. Not me, by the way, just for the record. That's a joke, Jim, by the way. No, they shut us down a number of times already here, by the way. The people that go after you online, you know, they shut us down a number of times already, Jim. A lot of our interviews that we've done in the past, they've been wiped away. Clean.
Oh, Michael, we'll just have to do more to replace them.
I guess so,
It's gotten ridiculous.
It really is, and it's crazy. I mean, this is a war against freedom of speech. It's insane.
100%.
And you are there.
Both, you know,
holy shit.
Sabotaging the Second Amendment. I mean, Barack Obama showed up just a month and 2 days after on January, the 16th, and the signed 23 executive orders to compromise our ability to exercise our rights under the Second Amendment. 23 executive orders signed by Barack Obama, who, by the way, was the inspiration for this whole thing, along with his Attorney General Eric Holder, who had during the 1995 National Democratic Women's Conference in Washington, D.C., declared, "We have to brainwash the American people to change their attitude toward gun." Well, the Sandy Hook event was part of the brainwashing initiated by Barack and Eric Holder, where Obama had vitiated the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, where the Smith-Mundt Act precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used outside. That would include paid protests, staged events, all this, to legalize Sandy Hook, just in time for the Sandy Hook fake massacre.
And by the way, just to add some context here for those that were wondering, the court ruled that the death certificate of Noah Posner is not a fabrication, as stated in the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. People were wondering, and that's what they're trying to now on you, Jim.
Well, here's the deal. I had this massive evidence that nobody had died at Sandy Hook, and yet the judge ruled at the scheduling conference that he wasn't going to go down that rabbit hole. He wasn't going to allow it because he said it wasn't relevant to the accuracy or the truthfulness of the death certificate.
Oh, really?
Where the death certificate said that the decedent had died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012 with multiple gunshot wounds. Go figure.
Yeah, so they haven't even heard any of your evidence. They haven't given you a chance, in other words.
Well, basically suppressed. I mean, essentially it was found to be unreasonable and treated as though it did not even exist.
Ooh, yeah, that's got to be very frustrating for you, Jim.
Well, it was, because I entered this whole thing having read up about summary judgments and how they have to take all the defendant's assertions to be true and then ask the defendant, if he agrees, and only proceed forward if he does agree, because then there are no disputed facts to turn to the jury. And yet when I got into this mess in Wisconsin, it was completely different. They have an inverted summary judgment protocol that allowed the judge to determine the facts on his own subjective basis. So that I'll bet, Michael, throughout this whole business, I probably had 20 different motions for discovery, for this, yeah, for that, DNA tests, all sorts of things. Every single motion I submitted was denied.
I was dismissed and denied. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's annoying. That would drive me off the wall.
I know. I've even in my work, you know, shown that Noah Posner was, in fact, a fiction made out of photograph as a young man supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, when he was a child. So I have a GIF where you can see Noah turn into Michael Vabner, or alternatively, Michael Vabner as a child, because that's how they faked it. In fact, it's interesting that Wayne Carver, who was the medical examiner, claimed he didn't allow any of the parents to see their children. They were identified on the basis of photographs, because they really only existed in the form of photographs. In fact, Mona Alexis Presley, one of my research colleagues, has found reason to believe some of the Sandy Hook parents used photographs of themselves as children to be to their deceased dead ones.
Oh, my. Yes, I recall you mentioning that to me, and I wasn't sure if that was really the case. And, you know, I went back and looked for photos, and I couldn't find them either.
Oh, let me add this. Neil Heslin, who was involved in the very first with Scarlett Lewis, the very first lawsuit, that I don't know, wound up with a trivial sum of $57 million, obviously mere peanuts compared to what's going on now.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed he held his dying son, Jesse, in his arms, and yet Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, said the parents weren't even allowed to see their children. I'll just say, as a parent, if I were told one of my children were dead, there's no force on earth that could prevent me from viewing the body for myself.
Absolutely. And, of course, we've seen footage of one of the fathers there who was, it seemed like he was maniacally laughing right before he did an interview with the news camera.
Oh, yeah, Robbie Parker.
Robbie Parker.
Who's supposed to be the father of Emily Parker, who was a cute little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl who, along with Noah Posner, were the two most adorable photogenic children in the mix. But it was all made up. I mean, the whole thing was totally fraudulent. The families were synthetic. Most of them weren't even married to one another. A lot of them don't even know each other, Michael. The whole thing is a total fraud.
It's a whole work, but you're saying.
They've done a massive job, and Alex Jones' case is only the most spectacular illustration of going after and attacking anyone who raises question about Sandy Hook. For example, James Tracy, who was probably the best faculty member they had at Florida Atlantic, was given the boot for a private blog publishing a critique about Wayne Carver's press conference, which had many odd elements, including his asserting at one point he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people of Newtown. Well, what would there be to come crashing down on the good people of Newtown if it were on the up and up? But, of course, the whole thing was a massive fraud.
My goodness. And, Jim, I don't mean to sort of sidetrack us here. And, you know, I mentioned this to you before, but I definitely want to bring it up to you again. And just a few days ago, Jim, I was actually watching a clip of you when you were on Fox News with Sean Hannity again.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I totally had forgotten how Hannity really pressed you right out of the gate. I watched that back, and I immediately said, God damn, Hannity, what's your problem?
Well, he was going after Kevin Barrett, I think, initially, and then they turned to me and tried to bring in this other guy, this Indian fellow. But the fact is, I was able pretty much to take control of that show, not as much as successfully as I had the previous when I was on, where
Ollie
North was sitting in for Sean Hannity.
Well, that was the other time.
That was on the eve of Alex Jones' American Scholars Conference on 9/11, where he invited me to be the keynote speaker, Michael. And they had me on Fox claiming they wanted to know what scholars for 9/11 truth had discovered, but while I was sitting in the room waiting, I had to bring in a TV, and when Holmes began talking about, you're not going to believe what your children are being taught by their professors, I knew they got it wrong, and I was able to seize control of that particular program right from the start. It's probably my single favorite of all my television appearances. Anyone can find it. Check it out. Jim Fetzer on with Ollie North, June 2006.
Yes, what I'm looking at, I believe it was, it must have been shortly after 9/11 when you were on. And for those who were way too young to remember, shortly after post 9/11, even talking about 9/11 not being aligned with the official narrative, you were sort of looked at with such malice and disdain. People would look at you as if you killed their cat. Which is a sin in my, which is a sin in my opinion. Killing any animal is bad. But by the way, what I mean by that is Hagerty seemed like such a rude prick to you when he had you on. And Jim, you know, I remember when that actually aired. I had been watching Fox News because of my dad, and I remember hearing you for the first time, and hearing you, and I'm just like, hell yeah, this guy gets it. This guy has laid down the truth. And
well, that's terrific, Michael. Actually, you know. Right. What's his name? O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly would have me on later. So these were separated by a couple of months. First, it was on with Ollie North sitting in for Sean Hannity, then with Sean Hannity, then with Bill O'Reilly, who was by far the rudest of the group. I'm sitting there for about 30 minutes in a studio with a bright light in my face.
Oh, my.
All of a sudden, Hannity pops in and says, I'm going to tell the world you hate your nation and that you're a nut. Boom, and I'm on television.
Oh, that's great.
And then he offers more ad hominem attacks, so you never are able to get back to the original. But I'll tell you, years later, I was in New York after I'd spoken at the Great Hall of Cooper Union, where Abraham Lincoln gave one of his most important speeches. And after the 9/11 conference, my wife and I, in front, wandered over to a theater where Alex Jones was hosting a 9/11 event. And they just rolled out the red carpet for me, had me sit up on a platform with 9/11 first responders. And when I sat down, the guy next to me leaned over and said, it was watching you on O'Reilly that convinced me 9/11 was an inside job.
Oh, my.
You know, well, maybe it was worth doing so.
Right.
After all.
And, you know, I really hope Hannity has changed his mind about the official narrative. You know, it took my dad a long time as well to, you know, to sort of question the narrative. And now he is all these years later, which makes me proud. But I'm hoping Hannity now also has changed his mind.
I don't know. Hannity is not really very swift. He's got a limited intellect, but he does feature a lot of good guests. I think that's the strength of his show. Tucker is by far the superior, and he's all over most of these, but even Tucker's a little wet behind the ears when it comes to conspiracies. I'll tell you, the ones that evoke even greater response are Sandy Hook on the one hand and the death and replacement of Paul McCartney on the other. You cannot believe people go virtually hysterical about both of those. Sandy Hook calming down just a bit, but perhaps only because they think Alex Jones, whom they take to be the principal representative of Sandy Hook research, is getting so massively clobbered in the courts. I mean, it's just absurd what's going on there.
That's right. And again, this is one of the many reasons why you're the most requested guest I've ever had on this program. You know, people definitely enjoy what you have to say. They respect the fact that you basically have thrown yourself into the trenches for So many years, you stood for what you believed in. And sometimes in life, we hit the proverbial speed bump, but you've remained strong, Jim. And that's respectable.
Well, some say I'm the last man standing, you know, in terms of these legal cases. Tracy was given the book. Wolfgang was framed on a misdemeanor. They treated it as though it were a felony, marched him through two fields at 3 a.m. in the morning, so he looked disheveled when they did a mug shot. He's all but destitute. I only wish that Alex had picked up. And, you know, he actually did an interview, a video deposition in Connecticut in relation to these cases, where he said he'd never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. And I say, well, that's ridiculous. How can a guy who's taking such a public stand not read the only objective, authoritative book on what really happened, where I brought together 13 experts, including six PhDs, and we established the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no teachers or students there, and that it had been a FEMA drill. presented as mass murder to promote gun control. I included the FEMA manual already there as Appendix A. This is one of the reasons why Amazon would ban the book less than a month after it went on sale, even though, Michael, it had sold nearly 500 copies, and recognizing this was a political stunt that I couldn't argue with them about it, I immediately released the book for free as a PDF. And I have a friend who follows this matters who says it's been downloaded millions of times.
By the way, Doc Holliday in the chat room says, Tucker is a Mockingbird-trained operator. So he's basically saying he's friends with the feds. And, well, you know, he did have a relationship with Hunter Biden at one time as well. Kind of
well,
weird.
Well, he's been great about Hunter. He's exposed the whole Biden fraud. He had Tony Bobulinski on during the first debate where Bobulinski just jumped out of his chair when Biden claimed he never had any conversation with his son, Hunter, about business. Because Bobulinski had been at meetings where Biden and Hunter were having conversations. So I think that may be an unfair criticism.
You might be much more. Oh, I see. Understood.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Tucker. He's the only guy I would recommend absolutely you should watch every time you have the opportunity. I agree he's a little wet behind the ears. I don't think he's quite sorted out 9/11. I don't know his thoughts about JFK, but I suspect he's unaware that Lee Oswald was actually standing in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade came by, meaning he not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, he's not one of the 8 shooters only Domagoj and I have identified, where I have the name, rank, and the serial number of 6, only added the 7th. There's only one that remains on the South Knoll opposite the grassy knoll. There's a single tree. You wouldn't think there was even a place for a shooter to hide there. But I've seen photographs in the possession of 2 different JFK students showing him standing with his rifle, different photographs. He was most assuredly there.
By the way, that's what Hannity was sort of mentioning, by the way, when he said you're a professor, but you were already retired at the time. But he sort of tried to, you know, disparage you a little bit by saying, oh, you're like a wacky conspiracy guy. That's the way he was trying to paint you on his show.
Well, actually, at that time, that was, June of 2006, actually.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I was just retiring. That's the month that I retired after a 35-year career in higher education.
Yes.
And, you know, Ollie was kind of dumbfounded when he asked me, didn't I tell the producer that I had a course on 9/11? I explained, no. I told the producer I had a course on critical thinking where I'd use examples such as from the Iraq War or, you know, JFK or whatnot. And actually, I used a lot of examples from 9/11. But they brought me on and claimed that I had a course on 9/11, which
right.
I did not. That enabled me to take control of the show and even say that I hope that they did that they had their facts foxed, and I hope they were not committing this regularly because it would so affect their credibility. But I had to phrase that very specifically, that they had their facts foxed.
Yeah, well, before they brought you on, they made sure that they were going to press you. And that's what the producers also, I'm sure, were in their ear saying, yeah, go after him. They were really going after you hard there, Jim. I was quite surprised to go back in time. And just to look at that, just look at the facial expressions being used. I just thought, oh, man, they are really going after Jim here. But, of course, you stood your ground. That's why everyone respects you, and that's why you are one of the most requested guests here, Jim, for that reason.
A couple questions in the chat room I could address. Jim Mars and I were friends. We co-authored an article about the backyard photographs. They did use a body double to stand in for Lee in the backyard photographs. He's much too robust to be Lee Oswald. In fact, Larry Rivera's done absolutely brilliant work. He found a photograph of a Dallas cop with ties to the CIA by the name of Roscoe White. It was Roscoe who served as a body double for Lee. You know, when he was questioned about it by Will Fritz, the Dallas homicide detective in charge of the case, he said that he was shown one of the backyard photographs, and he said that was his face posted on someone else's body, that he knew something about photography and eventually be able to prove it. Well, of course, he didn't live to do it. But Jim and I had an article co-authored about it. We identified Roscoe in part because Roscoe had this lump around his right wrist from a bone that didn't heal properly, and the backyard man has that same lump on his wrist that didn't heal properly. Where Larry did a superposition, and the physique is the physique of Roscoe White, whereas Lee said his face was pasted on somebody else's body.
And by the way, Jim, you are open to phone calls, correct? I think a few people were trying to
100%.
A few people were a few people were trying to call in early, but we had to sort of regroup and all that sort of jazz. But if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. That number is 424-666-2425. Don't be afraid to call in. I know that number is a little scary for some of you, but I mean, we're all adults here, you know. Don't be a
Doc Holliday is suggesting there was a cut in the Zapruder and they use a dummy. No, Doc, that's not right. There was massive editing of the Zapruder film. The original had about 1,000 frames. They sent it over to the CIA Hawkeye Works. This was a secret lab adjacent to Kodak headquarters and redid it. They removed over half of the frames, including 400 after the limousine came to a complete halt. This is in the vicinity of the Umbrella Man and the Cuban, where they halted so abruptly all the passengers were jostled forward. They had to take that out. There was such an obvious indication of Secret Service complicity. During that time, he was hit at least twice. David Mantic, the leading medical expert, believes there may yet have been a third shot to the head. The back of the head fired from the Daltex, and he slumped forward. Jackie eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by a bullet that blew his brains out the back of his head, and then he just slumped to the side. But the way they edited and took out so many frames, it looks like there's a violent back and to the left. Well, that violent back and to the left wasn't witnessed by anyone in Dealey Plaza, and there are others who have seen what appears to be the unedited film in a bit. Yeah, no violent back into the left. He merely slumped to the left. That occurred because they took out too many frames.
Hopefully that answers his question. And, you know, one thing I do want to ask you really quickly here, Jim, is why is Biden now suppressing the JFK files?
Well, the CIA has a lot at stake here because there are files, especially for their lead PSYOP guy, that they don't want to release. He was also involved in Bobby's assassination. I think they're worried. Now, Donald wanted to get all that out. And by the way, he gave the very first interview of a prominent personality about 9/11, saying that the builders who had constructed the Twin Towers were working for him now, and that there was no way a Boeing could possibly have brought the buildings down, about which he was 100% correct. Something else must have been involved. He said bombs, and that's exactly right. They actually use modest nuclear devices in the sub-basements of the North and the South Tower, so that, in effect, the buildings were constructed as a tube within a tube. They had the massive 47-core columns in the center enclosed by a tube. Then you had the 230 external steel support columns, which are connected to the inner tubes by steel trusses filled with concrete at a depth of 4 to 8 inches, so that each of the floors represented an acre of concrete on a steel truss. They blew it up from the inner tube from the bottom up, and then the effect was the outer tube was destroyed from the top down. So what we're witnessing external to the buildings is the outer tube being blown apart from the top down, but notice they're blowing apart in every direction. All the floors remain stationary. The building's being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which, by the way, is a signature of the use of nuclear weapons. And when it's done, there's no stack of debris. I mean, Compare it with Building 7, this 47-story skyscraper that came down at 520 in a classic controlled demolition. All the floors came down at the same time, very close to the speed of free fall, because they'd blown all the support columns simultaneously. But there was a residual pile of debris, 5.5 floors, which is approximately 12% of the original height of 47 floors, which is what we find from experience with controlled demolitions of stadia, resorts, casinos. Hey, Dan Rather, even on that occasion, said when he watched Building 7 come down, this looks just like the resorts and casinos we've been blown in Las Vegas. He was 100% correct. The point I'm making is if a controlled demolition, which is a form of controlled collapse, occurs, then you have a residual debris pile equal to about 12% of the original. In the case of 47-floor Building 7, 5.5. In the case of the 110-floor Twin Towers, that would have been 13.5 floors, but it's not there because it was not a controlled, it wasn't a controlled demolition. It wasn't any kind of a collapse. They merely told us that, and it's like a imprinting. The first story you hear is liable to make a big impression, which is why they had this planted Harley guy rush up when everyone's scratching their heads and saying, what the hell did we just see? And he said, oh, well, the intense fire from the jet fuel must have caused the steel to weaken and collapse, and then the upper floors caused the lower floors to collapse. That sounds plausible if you don't understand the design, because for every unit of downward force, there were like 199 units of upward force. It wasn't even physically possible for a twin tower to collapse. But you had the Harley guy right there on the scene giving us an explanation, and a lot of people thought it was probably right.
And Jim, I'm pretty sure I've asked you this, but when this initially happened, what exactly did you think it was? Did you automatically think there might be some shenanigans at hand, or were you like many other Americans who sort of bought the storyline for a little bit and then you started sort of researching and discovering it for yourself?
I was lying in bed, drinking a cup of coffee, reading the paper, when a daughter of ours who lived in Bradenton, Florida, called up and said, turn on the TV. And we saw the North Tower was billowing black smoke. And by the way, that means it's an oxygen-deprived fire. Doesn't have enough oxygen. Even if it had been under ideal condition with fed pure oxygen, it could not have reached a temperature high enough to melt or even weaken the steel. So the whole story was a fantasy from the beginning. I remember the spectacular explosion, but not seeing any plane with the South Tower. But when the alleged collapse took place, I remember clear as a bell saying to myself, this is physically impossible, but when will I ever be in a position to do anything about it? Surprisingly, I wound up being in a position to do something about it, and I pursued it relentlessly ever since.
Oh, yes. You've been in the game for a long time. And, Jim, right away, I thought something, I thought our own government might have been responsible. That was my first initial thoughts. How insane is that?
Well, that was totally reasonable.
It happened before, that's why.
Michael, especially given the government controls every inch of airspace, we have radar covering the totality of the United States 24/7. Now, this was an Israeli op. It was a brainchild of Bibi Netanyahu, who has just been reelected PM for the fourth and the fifth time. He has more lives than a cat. And Ehud Olmert in the late 1980s, they were trying to figure out a way to draw American forces into the Middle East so they could take out the modern Arab states. It served as a counterbalance of Israel's domination of the entire region. In other words, they wanted to fight the Arabs to the last American soldier and then use them on the Persian nation of Iran. It fell flat in Syria from when Russia and Iran entered at behest of the Syrian government, whose democratically elected president, Bashar al-Assad, sought their assistance. And it's also true, most Americans even today don't realize we can't or couldn't be in Syria to bring democracy to Syria, because Syria is already a democracy. And from all I can tell, Syria is a better functioning democracy today than the United States, given the, what we've just lived through with this midterm,
right,
which is such massive theft, Michael, on a scale unprecedented. Roger Stone, and he's no, you know, pipsqueak when it comes to political analysis. He's a friend of mine. Roger said he thinks he just witnessed the most completely manufactured election in American history. And that's complemented by a blogger who was able to catch the whole event taking place in real time. I've got his report up on my blog at BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, where he talks about everything he witnessed. He thinks these were good guys who were recording what was going on, but there was massive manipulation of the vote in all 50 of the states, save one, Florida, where they have very strong laws and all that. Florida was the only state which had totally legitimate voting. He mentioned, especially in New York, how Chuck Schumer was getting virtually no votes. He only had like a half a million legitimate votes. But they piled on millions and millions more because they wanted to keep him in place to be the, you know, the majority leader of the Senate. But he was observing himself, of all the Democrats involved in this theft, Chuck Schumer has to be right at the top of the list.
And are you sad about Nancy Pelosi, Jim? I've been waiting to hear your take on her.
Nancy has been corrupt forever. Many are going to be startled by what I'm about to say, but Trump gave a State of the Union, and we have a lip reader who was recording what conversation was going on before Trump came in to give his State of the Union. And Nancy Pelosi had a poison palm. She actually had a poison on her palm when she shook Trump's hand.
Really?
He would have been dead of a heart attack within hours. He clearly knew it was there. He didn't shake her hand. This is where Nancy tore up Trump's speech after the State of the Union, which was disgraceful. In fact, technically, she'd be guilty of something Trump was not, namely the destruction of government documents. That was an official document of the government, and here was Nancy Pelosi tearing it up. Nancy had a bit of a comeuppance here when her husband Paul was outed. He, according to the neighbors, had the practice of going to bars and coming home with young men who were gay.
Oh, shit.
The whole story was absurd. The glass was broken from the inside out. It was on the outside, not the in. When he first called in, he said there was a man in his house. Then he wanted to add his name is David, and he's a friend. And yet you have the district attorney from San Francisco saying there's no evidence that they knew him. Now, did she not even look at the first report when he called in and said his name is David and he's a friend?
Were they both in underwear, by the way, Jim?
Well, I'm not even sure they had underwear.
Oh, my.
David himself has said they were engaged in gay sex when they got into an argument over drugs. And the hammer he hit him with is a sex toy. It's available on Amazon.com for $95.
Oh, my.
It's shaped like a hammer, but it's a vibrating dildo.
Oh, my God.
And because it's loaded with batteries, being hit on the head with that would be like being hit on the head with a heavy flashlight, which, by the way, appears to have been the cause of death of JonBenet Ramsey. It appears her mother got so upset when JonBenet wet the bed that she hit her over the head with a flashlight and killed her, and wrapped her all up in swaddling clothes and drew a little heart on the palm of her hand. That case is really not that hard to solve, but it appears that they were using JonBenet for group sex, with the district attorney and the lawyers and the judges in the community. And this was simply an event where she had too many she could handle. And as I say, she seems to have wet the bed and her mother hit her over the head and killed her.
Yikes. That's not pleasant to hear. And I had no idea that Nancy Pelosi's
disgusting. And I hate to report these things.
Yes.
It's needless to say. This is the result of my research, but I've been collaborating with very good people and get a lot of insights that aren't available to the public. Everyone knows the body was all very carefully wrapped up in blankets. Everyone knows there was a heart drawn in the palm of her hand. Well, who would do that? Only her mother. I mean, they just didn't want to solve it because it was so horrible that she was being gang raped by these adult men in law enforcement and the judicial system.
Yes, it's strange to see and hear about adult men so interested and underage girls, and it seems to be a problem, I would say, with you know, people that have a lot of money, people that are wealthy and have power, always going after the children for whatever reason. And yes, Nancy Pelosi's husband, I had no idea he was a foot tapper, but it doesn't surprise me hearing about that.
Well, let me add a little more. There was a report of a third party having opened the door, and I believe those reports are accurate. They claimed, however, it was Paul Pelosi who opened the door with his left hand, they say. Now, that's so peculiar. Why would you say with his left hand? Because when he broke out the glass in the back door to try to make it look like a break-in, he badly cut up his right hand and his wrist. So he had to have not only surgery on his skull for a fracture, they had to repair his right hand and wrist. So to circumvent, they said he opened the door with his left hand. Very peculiar to say that.
It's a strange detail.
And then they said he simply backed away from the police. He didn't announce an emergency, and he backed away toward the alleged assailant, David DePaul, who, by the way, is anything but a mega guy. He's a hippie. He lives in a commune. They have a Black Lives Matter flag out there. They're pro-marijuana. I'm pro-marijuana, so that's not a fault. But he's a BLM guy. He's a left-winger, not a right. And I have had multiple reports. He was also in the car with Paul Pelosi when he was pulled over for DUI just a few months ago.
Yes, he's a great guy, obviously. DUI,
yeah,
you know.
Great guy.
Sleeping with a weird gentleman.
The early reports were just hilarious, including that, you know, he'd rather, you know, be having sex with his kid than with his wife.
Well, do you blame him, though? I mean,
Nancy Pelosi could be the cause of erectile dysfunction.
That's true. I mean, if you were married to Nancy Pelosi, I mean, Jim, you might start looking at men in a very different way.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they are in San Francisco, after all. But yes, David the Pap is the guy's name who's been criminally charged and was reportedly looking for his wife, Nancy. And Jim, he looks as weird as he sounds, with a face that only a mother could love.
Yeah, well, there's another face that looks pretty weird, which is this new guy has just been appointed as special counsel to go after Trump and pursue January 6th. His name is Jack Smith.
Jack Smith.
I tell you, this is a weird-looking guy.
Let me look him up. I've never heard of this guy. Jack Smith, you said.
He's just been appointed.
Jack Smith.
Merrick Garland, who may be the most disgraceful attorney general in the history of the United States, and that's going some, has just made the appointment of this special counsel, and he's going to have twin responsibilities. He's going to go after not only Donald Trump in relation to Mar-a-Lago, even though the FBI recently admitted there was nothing improper about the documents he had. They're going to keep the ball rolling and go after Republicans in the new House and Senate in case they had anything to do with January 6th. This comes right after the Republicans have announced an investigation into Joe Biden. So what they're going to do is use these special counsel investigations to keep everything, all the relevant evidence wrapped up because it's part of an ongoing investigation. In other words, they've got a plan to block the Republicans from doing investigations, even though they're overwhelmingly justified.
And now I have an image of this gentleman you speak of, and he's wearing some sort of purple outfit here.
Yeah, and isn't that weird?
Is he like
Hillary when she finally gave her concession speech? She and Bill came out in purple.
He looks like he's wearing
some kind of resistance. You know, this guy is a strange-looking dude, and I have no doubt he's a very nasty piece of work.
Right. Yeah, well, he definitely looks a little odd wearing that outfit. He looks like a Freemason of sorts. And
oh, that's good. That's very good, Michael. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
He might be. He looks insane, that's for sure. And Asuka Langley in the chat says John Fetterman's neck growth is more attractive than Nancy Pelosi. Wow.
And I'll tell you, this whole theft of the election in Maricopa County, especially, thank goodness we have Kerry Lake, who's very strong independent. We got this candidate for the Senate who's not conceding either. The evidence there is so massive and overwhelming. Did you know, Michael, only 17% of the votes that were cast in Maricopa County were cast by Democrats? Only 17%? Now, there's no way he could, Katie Hobbs, who is a Secretary of State, who should not have even had anything to do with the election because she, as Secretary of State, was a candidate, and therefore she was supervising a contest where she was a candidate. I should think that would be enough to nullify the bloody race anyway. But they had that fixed the computers so they wouldn't scan ballots that were Republican ballots. You'd have to scan them 10 or 12 times, and if you were unsuccessful, you're asked to put them in door number three. Well, door number three, Michael, was a trash bin. They had to repeatedly empty door number three. So like 90% of the votes that were cast in the first few hours weren't actually properly cast. They were put in door number three, and they were disposed of. Tucker's been very good on this, by the way, pointing out that when you have these long delays, that it's because they're figuring out how many votes they have to subtract from the winner to turn them into a loser, how many votes they have to add to the loser to turn her into a winner. So they were subtracting votes from Carrie Lake. They were adding votes to Katie Hobbs over these several days. That's exactly what was going on. And other commentators have picked up on it the same way. One observing that if your election, if the total vote isn't announced the day of the election and you're a Republican or a conservative, you're toast because they're going to use a drawn out count to switch the outcome. Just disgusting.
Right. It is very disgusting. But, you know, I'm sort of disgruntled from the whole voting thing. Actually, Jim, let's take a phone call before I even finish this. I believe this person had called before, but we'll get back to voting and all this mess here in a second. But let's take this phone call really quickly. Caller, you are live. How's it going? Caller, you live.
Yeah, we can't hear you, caller.
Yeah, we can hear you for whatever reason. Caller, are you out there? Well, I think we might have lost him, Jim.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you could always put a comment on the chat and say, I'm the caller, here's my question or comment, I'm glad to hear it. What it means is the Democrats are continuing to pay dirty politics. I think Nancy didn't want to hang around. And by, getting off of the scene, she at least partially takes her out of the sights of the Democrats. But Nancy Pelosi is massively corrupt. She had a whole lot to do with the January 6th. Event. As Speaker of the House, she's in control of the Capitol Police. The Capitol Police were acting under her instructions. The Capitol is secured by a massive magnetically locked door. It cannot be opened except from the inside. It's clear Nancy Pelosi gave the order to open.
Right.
And we have the FBI director just in the last day or two declining to answer the question, how many FBI private resources that they have dropped as Trump supporters, you know, to bring about the insurrection, which he refused to answer.
By the way, I think we might have this caller. Go ahead, caller. Are you, can you hear us now?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Beautiful, man. I'm enjoying the show. Thanks a lot.
Excellent.
Yeah, no worries. Did you have a question for Jim?
Yeah, Jim, I'm calling from, Trinidad, up here in the north of you guys.
Okay.
And we have a lot of issues going on with Blackface Trudeau here, and he's been taking a lot of stuff from China recently. Like, we've had police stations that got popped. Three police stations in Toronto got popped for being Chinese police stations, and most recently he's been accused of taking the election rig from people from China. Do you know anything about that, or do you have an opinion about that?
Well, Justin Trudeau is totally corrupt. He's a New World Order stooge, as is Emmanuel Macron and other of the prominent leaders. They foster their political careers to get him in position. By the way, Putin is obviously not a New World Order guy. In fact, he's been denounced by no less an authority than Jacob Rothschild as being an enemy of the New World Order, where he has also declared that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine. So in my judgment, Vladimir Putin, whom I regard as the only true statesman astride the world stage today, is fighting a fight for all of humanity, not just for Russia. But where he made it very clear about the national security interests of Russia and why Ukraine becoming a member of NATO was unacceptable, because then you'd have all these NATO missile batteries right on Russia's border. Putin acted properly and in accordance with international law. The U.S. and NATO, however, have not. Now, Trudeau, the best thing I can say about him is he is the son of Fidel Castro. And, his father, Pierre, had a wife who was very adorable and affectionate and had an affair with Fidel. And while I regard Fidel as a great national leader, as I do Ho Chi Minh, we seem to take a dim view of national leaders, you know, want to preserve the resources of their own country to benefit their own people. We don't like that. So that when Fidel nationalized the United Fruit and Anaconda Copper in Cuba, the international companies got outraged and wanted to set in the Marines. One of the reasons, by the way, that the chiefs of state threw in on the assassination, which was orchestrated by Lyndon Johnson, who wanted to become president of all the people, was because Jack opposed an invasion of Cuba against their unanimous recommendation. He also went ahead and signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union, which they unanimously opposed. And now he was pulling all of our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964. That was too much for the chiefs. And they threw in as sponsors of the assassination. Indeed, each of the groups as sponsors had one of their own hitmen. So there were eight different hitmen. The Air Force guy was named Jack Lawrence. He was firing from inside the triple underpass. He was using a new experimental weapon Remington had manufactured and only distributed a few copies, one of which was given to the chief of staff of the Air Force, who shared it with Jack Lawrence. So we'd know he was acting on behalf of the American military, who had concluded JFK was a communist. The CIA had their shooter, too. He was Frank Sturgis, fired the shot that entered the right temple. Lawrence fired the shot that passed through the windshield and hit JFK in the throat. A Dallas deputy sheriff was on top of the county records building, fired a shot that hit JFK in the back. Shallow shot, probably because he was implanting a Mannlicher-Carcano bullet using a .30-06, a larger caliber weapon, and a plastic collar known as a sabot. Jim Mars and I agree about all of this, by the way, and I miss him, too. He was a good man. Lyndon had his own personal hitman, Malcolm McWallace, firing in the from the book depository, but from the opposite side of the alleged assassin's lair. No one was firing from the assassin's lair, and as I've already mentioned, Lee was in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by. So he was very badly framed. He protested his innocence. He explained where he'd been at the time, but he was the patsy. They made him out to be. Today, if you ask the government, in spite of all the evidence we have, that there were multiple assassins, or get this, George H.W. Bush was on the scene. He was actually in the Daltex with the anti-Castro Cuban. Nestor Tony Escadro fired three shots from a high-quality Mannlicher-Carcano, but where it's so unreliable, two of the shots missed completely. One hit a distant curbing and injured a bystander by the name of James Tague. Another hit the chrome strip above the windshield. But the third, after the limousine was brought to a halt, hit JFK in the back of the head, where he slumped forward. Now, he was wearing this very strong corset because of back injuries he'd suffered during World War II, PT-109 and all that. So Jack didn't have a lot of mobility. He was hit in the back, he was hit in the throat, and then after the limousine was brought to a halt, he was hit at least twice more in the head. David thinks possibly even a third time, virtually concurrent with a hit to the right temple, also from the right side. So I could go through that in greater detail, but perhaps for another time. If you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, in the search bar, just put in JFK special, and you'll get an update that I published on 18 November 2021 prior to Oliver Stone releasing his new JFK Revisited, which I'm sorry to say was mediocre. Even though they had some very good people like David Mamet, Douglas Horn, they didn't ask them the right questions, or if they did, they edited them out. And I attribute this to Jim DiEugenio, whom Oliver, alas, used as a scriptwriter. DiEugenio had launched a bizarre attack on me on virtually all facets of my research in a new journal, of which he's an editor, called Kennedys and King, where he was taking me on for everything I'd done on JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing.
Why would he attack you?
Michael, he doesn't know my work at all, but he made it all up. And I now believe, in retrospect, he was trying to dissuade Oliver Stone, who may have been contemplating going for me as his script writer instead of DiEugenio. I actually put together a 7-part refutation of every claim DiEugenio made about me, showing the evidence. It's easy to lie. It can be complicated to explain why a claim is a lie. I went through that, and DiEugenio spent 5 minutes looking at it and let it go. Just let it go, because I was refuting every damn thing he said. I mean refuting, not just rebutting. A rebuttal is an argument in opposition. A refutation is a successful argument in refutation that establishes the falsehood of the opponent's position. I did that across the board with DiEugenio. He should never have gone with him. He's such a mediocrity that even though David Mantic, this is just one illustration, the whole show revolved around the magic bullet theory, which is preposterous to begin with. David Mantic, who's an MD and a PhD, he's an expert in radiation oncology, which is a treatment of cancer using X-ray therapy. So he knows X-rays in and out. He took a CAT scan of a patient with neck and chest dementia similar to JFK and plotted the official trajectory, where it turns out that it's not even anatomically possible because cervical vertebrae intervene. And indeed, if you look at the Discovery or these other channels doing their reenactment, they have a stand-in, a model for JFK that is lacking an anatomical feature. Namely, they have no backbone, which is all quite ironic, since JFK was taken out precisely because he had a backbone. Not only that, but it turns out Sam Kinney was a driver of the Secret Service vehicle, the Cadillac, following JFK, cleaning out the vehicle at Parkland. He discovered a whole bullet, which I'm convinced came out of that shallow shot to the back, fired from the top of the county records building, and he took it inside and left it on a stretcher where it would become the magic bullet. But the whole scenario is preposterous. The program JFK Revisited was mediocre. I and Gary King and Larry Rivera, who do a new JFK show, and, updating on the latest developments, we've done, 324 of these new JFK shows, actually took Oliver Stone's film apart. We broke it down into half-hour segments and created 4 one-hour shows, a half-an-hour segment of the two-hour Oliver Stone film, and then spent a half-an-hour critiquing it. If you look on my blog, you may be able to find it, or you could write to Gary King or write to me, and I'll see if we can't track it down for you. It was schlock. It was meaningless. Here, Oliver Stone had produced this absolutely magnificent film, JFK, which is the closest thing, to what actually happened in Dealey Plaza ever presented to the American people through the mass media. It's not flawless, but it's spectacular and right-headed. And then he follows it up with his utter dribble. It's really a shame. I sent him my film before his would be released 4 days later, but I have not heard from him in response.
Caller, do you have anything else before we let you go?
Do you guys happen to see the confrontation between the president of China and Trudeau in the last couple of days?
No, tell us about it.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, the Canadian camera crew caught up to see and seen them two talking together with a translator. And Xi said to Trudeau that he doesn't like what he's done, releasing all this information to the public through the media. And, you know, he was, wouldn't even look him in the eyeballs at all. And Trudeau just, like, had his head down. And then a couple other words were said, and Trudeau just walked off like a little bitch with his tail between his legs.
Well, that's not surprising.
He's an utter mediocrity. He has no business. He's been insulting the Canadian people, their protests. He's even taken away handguns from Canadians. How outrageous is that?
Yeah, we did that. In Nova Scotia, yeah.
Disgusting beyond words.
But he's going on the next Canadian drag show, if anybody wants to watch that.
Oh, no.
He's one of the guest stars in the drag show, yeah.
Well, that's, again, that's not surprising to hear that. Oof.
Yeah, I know.
Yikes, well.
But anyway, great show, guys. Jim, you're the best. And if you have any trouble with people, give me a ring, and I'll put him in my pig farm for you. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. Great
Thanks
call.
For the call. And there he goes, our friend in Canada, Jim.
Someone asked if I'd ever met Marilyn. Well, I was a huge fan of Marilyn. As I turn, I have a 5-panel sequence of Marilyn on my wall here, just to my immediate left in my office here, where I do all my shows. Marilyn did have dalliances with Jack. He was being shot up with steroids. It actually made him hypersexual, but he wasn't really much of a lover. For example, Angie Dickinson said that her affair with JFK was the greatest 14 seconds of her life, which gives you some idea. But Jack would even fly Marilyn across to give him, say, special treatment before he'd go to do a big event. And of course, when she sang Happy Birthday, it was spectacular. Marilyn apparently, by the way, while she had the affair with Jack, I believe she really had a thing for Bobby, that Bobby really loved her. He's sometimes been accused of having been involved in her murder. Her little bungalow had like 14 different wiretaps. I mean, she was being bugged by every agency in the world. And it appears that Sam Giancana was worried that Marilyn was going to give a press conference and spell beans because she had also been Sam's girlfriend. And he assigned Johnny Rosselli to take her out, but he wanted Johnny to know she must feel no pain. So that Rosselli actually, they chloroformed her and then gave her a rectal suppository with narcotics that killed her painlessly. But that was how Marilyn appears to have been taken out. There's a wonderful book by a guy named Derek Porter called Marilyn at Rainbow's End that gives what I regard as the most accurate accounting of her death that's available anywhere in print.
I had read a random article that said that Marilyn Monroe wouldn't shower very often. That's why Joe DiMaggio left her.
Oh, Joe loved Marilyn to the end. I don't know about her.
I don't know how accurate. Yeah, I don't either.
I was a huge fan of Marilyn. I thought she was wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know what that article was all about, but that was a strange article to say the very least. And yes, lots of people going. Asking lots of questions here, but yes, I see someone asking about Elon Musk.
Yeah, apparently something's going on. Now, he did a good thing in buying Twitter, and he paid more than twice of what it was worth with $44 billion. It might have been worth half that, because more than half of the, those who are participating in Twitter turned out to be bots.
Right,
he's now fired like half the staff because they were doing censorship. And he wants to create a free speech medium. I believe Elon Musk has done a very good thing for the American people. But the Democrats are furious about it because they don't want free speech.
No, they're against free speech.
Everyone who's critical, they won't want Joe to be exposed, which is why they appointed this new complete charlatan, it appears, to be a special counsel. This really does mean the United States is a banana republic. What has distinguished our country in the past is our adherence to law and order, that we did not politicize prosecutions of political enemies of the government, but now we're doing that in spades. The Mar-a-Lago raid was only one indication, but the DOJ and the FBI have been completely politicized. Look at all this stuff covering up Russiagate. looking at how James Comey covered up the Anthony Weiner laptop to protect Hillary in 2016.
The Hunter laptop as well, yes.
Covered up the Hunter laptop to protect Joe Biden in 2020. The FBI is a disgrace, Michael, a complete disgrace.
It's a big shit show out there. Yeah, it really is.
That's right.
And Jim, you know, with all of that said, and knowing that, you know, sometimes voting isn't quite accurate as we are led to believe, I've always felt, you know, at a local level, I think voting is rather important. But on a nationwide level, I don't know. I have my doubts. I've always been really iffy about the validity of voting.
Well, it should be perfectly straightforward. When we had paper ballots and hand counts, it was. So it was like around 1981, as I recall, Chuck Hagel introduced electronic voting, and he actually owned the electronic voting company that was used to elect him to the Senate. So although I kind of like Chuck Hagel in various ways, I believe he was introducing this corrupt mechanism to the United States. The first thing we must do is get rid of electronic voting machines, return to paper ballots and hand counts. We have to get rid of gerrymandered voting districts, adopt the Iowa model where you have a panel of retired judges determining the voting districts to make them as reasonable and objective and balanced as possible. We have to get private money out of federal elections. I think every federal election has to be paid for by the public. It's well worth the investment. And fourth, and initially it may sound counterintuitive, we need to restore the draft. We need to have every American eligible for the draft so that their families become concerned with decisions of war and peace once again. Too often they say now since Nixon abandoned the draft to take the air out of the anti-war movement, while knowing that their daughters and sons aren't going to be vulnerable, they're not going to be at risk. The public pays no attention to what's going on here, which could even get us into a world war now with regard to Ukraine. Now,
yeah,
they
that's
knew,
another thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you at all. It's just I did want to bring up the Ukraine sort of situation with Poland. You know, I think Ukraine obviously executed a false flag attack on Poland.
Yeah. That's, of course.
I mean,
absolutely. This wasn't even a missile that was in the Russian arsenal.
It was sloppy.
Russia isn't firing anything anywhere near Poland, and Zelensky's gone bananas about it. But he's trying to provoke World War III. I'm getting reports, by the way, Benjamin Fulbert is saying Germany is going to go ahead and work out a gas deal with Russia, even though the European Union is opposed to it. I hope that is true. Many believe that the war was provoked in order to guarantee that the Nord Stream 2 would never begin functioning, because once you have peaceful, mutually beneficial economic relationship between Russia and Germany, which is by far the economic powerhouse of the European Union, the situation becomes very amicable, tensions between nations reduced, the obsolescence of NATO becomes obvious, no longer any need to maintain it. NATO has just been a military arm of the United States to perpetrate war crimes, such as the slaughter of Libya, among the most horrific of all, where Hillary was in the lead there, disgraceful, contemptible, inhuman person that she is. I have no end of contempt for Hillary Clinton. But the fact is, by provoking the war, they caused this tension to occur where Russia was never able to turn on Nord Stream 2. And then you have the British attacking the pipelines with the United States had already declared that if Russia were to invade Ukraine with troops and tanks, that Nord Stream would be no more. We got that both from Joe Biden and we got that from Victoria Nuland, who'd engineered the coup back in 2014 using $5 billion in American taxpayer money to get rid of the Russia-friendly president and install a Western stooge. And this is the point at which they began artillery barrages on the Donbass, which is populated with ethnic Russians, Russian-friendly Russian speakers, bringing about thousands of deaths, which was one of the reasons Putin declared for having to undertake the special military intervention. But the Democrats have been sending all this money to Ukraine, and now we're learning the reason. This TFX scandal exposes. They were sending the money to Ukraine so it could be laundered and then sent back as cryptocurrency to the Democrats to use to buy the election of 2022. I mean, it's just disgusting.
It's insane. You of course are talking about FTX. The big crypto scam that went on, and of course, FTX donates all their money to the DNC. Surprise, surprise.
That's right. It was a classic money laundering operation at the expense of the American taxpayer. So the Democrats are using the American taxpayer to sabotage democracy in the name of democracy. I mean, their hypocrisy knows no bounds.
It's disgusting. It really is. And this guy got away with it. This strange, nerdy-looking fellow and his girlfriend that looks like she's 8 years old.
The DOJ is only going to prosecute Republicans, or especially they're still worried about Trump, because Trump galvanized the nation. Trump brought about a populist outpouring like we've never seen before in the history of the nation. I believe Donald Trump has a more powerful a grip on the American people than even JFK. And needless to say, I was a huge fan of JFK. But I think Trump actually has affected us in a more powerful way. Jack would have, had he survived to serve a second term, I think the adoration for him and Jackie would have been unlimited. But what we have now with the Biden is a crime family in position running the country. Merrick Garland is basically the conciliary of the Biden crime family. He's acting, just think of the model of the Godfather, except that the Godfather was a far more competent individual, knew what he was doing, whereas Biden is merely a puppet whose strings appear to be being pulled by Barack Obama behind the scene, who is in turn controlled by George Soros, who in turn is being controlled by the Rothschild banking empire. They're out to destroy America, and frankly, they're doing a pretty good job of it.
And we are joined by yet another caller. Go ahead, caller. You are live.
Yeah, Jim. I was wondering, back in the day when you first saw the Sandy Hook, it was possible that you looked up the network activity of the schools.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it was actually Dennis Camino who did that and found there was no internet activity for like between 2008 and 2012. And that was in the first edition. If you get the first edition, it's got Dennis's wonderful piece about that failure of internet activity. But there's so many proofs. I don't know if you heard how before the Supreme Court, and I had now have an Appendix E. And you can get these appendices and download them to your own desktop if you go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Remember the H, because if you just go to jameshfetzer.org, it's now directed to the documents in relation to the taking.
Yeah.
They were out to kill the blog and the book. If you go to jameshfetzer.org and look for Ron Avery talking about my
question
before the Supreme Court, you can download the whole thing, the petition and the appendices. There are two, A through D, and then E, and you'll find a mess of evidence proving the whole thing was a fraud right there at your fingertips.
Okay. Now, during the time when I first saw the somebody put up on the internet, and that was that early spring, where they were showing the graph of that address, that there was like basically there was like sporadic internet activity. And then from there, it was flatlined.
Yeah.
I thought for a fact that was kind of like somebody just putting up some joke. So then
no,
I looked it up on the internet.
It wasn't a joke. The whole thing was very elaborate. Planning began in 2006. Eric Holder played a major role here. They actually had auditions for the various roles. They actually had a script. The Connecticut State Police were running the op behind the scene. The community of Newtown got massive money for doing this.
Yep. Just listen.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so I bothered to call and then call over to the Connecticut school board and find out who it was that would actually have such a graft, like of such. So then they said there was two companies that were the main companies that offered fiber to all their schools. Now, around here in Idaho, that's kind of the same thing because they have to have competitive bidding on such. So, anyway, she gave me off the name of one of them, and so I went ahead and called over there and just asked the company, which, you know, you could just look them up on the internet, and then talk to the guy over there. And I gave him the address of what this address was. He said, no, that's our competitor. And I know him because this is kind of like just their sales guy. And you should just call him. And he gave me his, like, cell phone number. So then I called the guy's cell phone number and just left him a message. Hey, listen, I'm looking out for this one address. I was wondering if it was active or not, blah, blah, blah. Because I didn't, like, think that the whole thing was a fake or not. So I just kind of said so. But I didn't tell him that I was actually looking up for, like, a school shooting or something. I was just, like, was looking at if it was actually active or not. Because there is also right there on the corner the other company, I think, services that fire station that was right there. It was one or the other. Anyway, as is, this guy calls me back on the phone. And now, he was not at his office. He was out in the field. And he says, like, yeah, I'm looking at that address, and it looks dead. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Because, you know, that's supposed to be a school. Since you have the school contract, like, what is that? You know, what is that? And he went over the whole thing, like, well, we have these schools around that are closed down or, like, you know, used for something else. And I said, okay, well, what does that look like? He says, well, it looks like there's sporadic stuff there, but it looks like it's used for something else.
That's very good. That was accurate. Yeah. They might have an occasional, you know, special meeting there for some purpose, but it was a closed school. They weren't teaching any students there.
I went into detail with him on this because in those places, they have active Wi-Fi. So they have school Wi-Fi in all those places. I was like, well, like, what do you mean? He says, well, somebody could have went in there and just had, like, you know, just Wi-Fi access and just used it.
Right. He might have been in there with their laptop.
And then they were, like, shipping his stuff in and out.
Yeah.
Or they just happened to be on site and they wanted to use the internet for whatever reason.
Yeah.
No. Ever since then, I've known you've been correct on this. It's just a matter of actually if those people are evil enough to go ahead and kill off those kids or not.
They didn't kill any kids. It was all fake. These were all crisis actors. They even auditioned for the role. You may have missed, I just added that when you started talking. They had auditions for the various roles. They had scripts. The whole thing was managed. It just turned out that Connecticut police went off the script and they did things they shouldn't have done. And there were lots of glitches because they were used to doing this sort of thing. But big bucks were involved. I mean, I'm telling you, this was a bought and paid for deal. And the DHS does this all over the country. So that, you know, Sandy Hook was only the first. And, of course, the first book of mine that was... Yeah, that's it. You're showing that really awful photograph. That's one of the attacks on me in the Chronicle of Higher Education, of which there have been two.
Yes,
that
sir.
That was particularly disgusting. I wrote them. They had 16 major arguments or points about me that were false, and I wrote them refutations, and they didn't raise their least digit to correct it, Michael. That's just... They found a photograph they could give the least favorable.
Yes. It's not a very. It's not a very.
I love this caller. This is terrific.
It looks great, though.
Additional research. But the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, Orlando, Buffalo, Buffalo, Uvalde, those are all fake. You want to download my law enforcement false flag scripted event checklist, which I did with Brian Davidson, the PI I cited, whose affidavit is in my current Supreme Court submission with a motion for rehearing, which, by the way, an attorney who's qualified to appear before the Supreme Court told me he'd never heard of the Supreme Court allowing a rehearing. Now, I'll bet if you went through the records, they've done it, but it's been very, very rare. And they would only, I presume, allow a rehearing if they thought there was something important that they had missed the first time around. And I believe that's exactly what happened here. But Dennis Camino did good work. You did a wonderful thing in confirming it. I'll tell you, today, they've no doubt clamped up on that. And if you got somebody he wouldn't be able to tell you the true or the false. Good. That's a nice photograph there.
I like that photo of you there, Jim.
That's very good. I think that's when I got the teaching award. Where the hell was this? This is...
It's a good photo.
I'm looking at the blackboard to try to figure out where I was when I gave that. Because if I were giving the talk, I'd have a clean blackboard that would have my stuff on it. And that's somebody else's. That's looks like...
It says 2013.
2013. Very interesting.
Yes, you were.
One of, I mean, I'd given, you know, 100 of these presentations more, and most of them are available somewhere or other. But your caller's wonderful. I'm very, very impressed with what he did and what he sorted out, because today if you called up, I'll bet you anything, they'd say, oh, yeah, of course, it was continuous in service.
And that caller left, by the way. I wanted to follow up with a few things, but he hung up.
Well, he's good. He's very good. He's probably listening to us
now.
Yeah,
he's probably listening.
I just say, excellent call, caller. Excellent.
Yeah, thanks for that call.
I'm very impressed by what you did in verifying what Dennis had sorted out, to wit that there wasn't even any internet activity.
Yes, that's a good point. And, of course, hello to Gang of Four out there, who is cold as hell out there. Most Americans, well, those in the East Coast, are probably freezing right now. But out here, it's 59 degrees, by the way, for those that care. Not too bad. Pretty good out here. Jim, is it cold out there where you are?
Oh, I think it's around 20 degrees maybe tonight. I mean, it's not been especially bad. When I lived in Duluth, it got to 35 below zero.
Ooh,
so,
damn.
You know, I mean, living here near Madison, it's a piece of cake compared to Minnesota if you're residing in the north.
Ooh, yeah, it's too cold. Too cold for me. You know, I'm out here in California, so, you know, I'm pretty spoiled with the weather out here.
Well, remember, Michael, I was born in Pasadena and grew up in California.
That's right, yeah, you,
so,
of course.
You know, yeah, so, you know, I know the territory, and it's really a different state today, and your governor is just a monster.
Oh,
it's
my,
terrible.
Yes, he is the worst. And, by the way, we are joined with yet another caller. Caller, go ahead, you're live.
Yeah, I'm the previous caller that...
Oh, there you are.
Oh, good, good. I just wanted to congratulate you.
Yes.
You did an excellent piece of research there. I'm really surprised you got an honest answer, but
me too.
Obviously you did.
Wow.
Well, no, you see, what was funny about that is I just went ahead and took a look at it, like, on the base level at the time. And the guys that were actually... Because I spotted that little graph on the internet, and I thought it was actually a joke.
Yeah, I see.
And so then I just went ahead and, like, thought, okay, well, the state has to have, like, contractors for these things. And so then from there, you just call all the contractors and find out what they're up to. And
yeah,
so
but I'm telling you, if you did it today, I don't think you'd get a straight answer. Dennis is a very serious guy. He was a top electronics troubleshooter for the Navy before he resigned and went to work for Raytheon.
It's just a matter of regular people. No, regular people need to call regular people on the phone and just be, like, curious about shit and talk about stuff.
Yeah.
I don't need to write a book, and I don't need to, like, let's say, be a curious, like, you know, riddle somebody down on a bunch of questions. Just ask them what the hell's going on. Because, like, those two sales guys for those two companies, they had no idea who the hell I was. I didn't say I'm like, oh, I'm somebody important. I'm like, you know, like so-and-so, like doing a book or research or whatever. I'm just calling about something. And that's what they're regular people. Seriously, those kids, those two guys, they were basically kids. They're sales kids, guys. They were like in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're just making a living, doing what they're doing. Sure.
But if he'd known it was Sandy Hook, I doubt he would have been eager to talk about it. You handled it very well. Good work. Well done.
Well, no,
I congratulate
you. This is exactly what you're supposed to do. It's just like whenever you see any of this stuff go on, it's just a matter of calling the people that are involved and just talk to them as a person.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, most of the people have been gagged. These people are under contract. You don't understand. The Sandy Hook thing is very elaborate. Lots of people, they're under contract. Part of what's interesting is that many of their contracts, these are non-disclosure agreements, expire on 31 December of this year. So they can either re-sign up and continue their benefits. And by the way, those who participated don't pay taxes. And if they, you know, want to go to school, the government will pay for it. This is done by the Department of Homeland Security. You would not believe the extent to which they go to manufacture these phony events to manipulate the American people in their opinions about the Second Amendment. It's really to grab our guns.
But it was actually fortuitous that basically that graph appeared, and I happened to call the sales guys. We're not read in on whatever the hell was going on. Fine, and then that was just it.
Yeah.
See, ever since then, I've known that there's an element to like what's going on, because these guys can't pull things off perfect, because there's too many people involved with what they're doing.
Yeah, but the deal is, as soon as they learn, you know, something gone wrong, they seek to make amends, to manufacture evidence to deal with it and all that. I mean, there's a whole lot I know about this. I'm not at liberty to address on this occasion, but I hope in the future we'll be able to spell it out in great detail. I'm just hoping the Supreme Court will find convincing what I presented, because, I mean, there can be no doubt, given my appendices, that this was a FEMA drill. And that there were no children or adults who died there. And this is using records from the state police files where, by the way, they removed the metadata as to when and where they were taken out of consciousness of guilt in the hope they therefore could not be submitted as evidence in a trial, in a legal context, in a court of law.
Well, the mere fact that those bullet holes came in through the windows in a row at 90 degrees.
Yeah, what you mean is they drilled. Yeah, they drilled the aluminum frame to simulate bullet holes.
That was a force shot. So it's, no, you can't bend aluminum on a frame like that, because aluminum frames on windows are heat treated. So you can't really drill from the outside in and then cause the metal to go ahead and bend like it's like, let's say, butter. Somebody actually ran out there and shot those
things. Those are drill holes. You can even see some of the aluminum filings there where they have the pink rods inserted, I assure you.
No, the windows themselves, that heat-treated aluminum is like, let's say, 6,000 or so, like 3,000 series to aluminum. To cause that aluminum to bend out like it did, which is kind of like just like, let's say, an orange peel bend, that had to have been a force, like a blunt force. So somebody had to have gone on the outside of that thing purposely, like punched through it somehow, which is amazing to me, because that to even stage that, that's crazy. So somebody had to go ahead and like mess around with that, just to go ahead and mess around with it as evidence. Because you can't do that. You can't drill it. Like, if I were to take a drill bit and drill through, like, let's say, a windowsill, which you can do, you just go to, like, the Home Depot and pick up a window. And then from there, go ahead and drill it with a drill. You're going to wind up drill shavings on the inside of the, like, the frame itself. And it's just not going to force itself through the other way. And so,
we could discuss this on another occasion, perhaps, but in various of my presentations, I go through this in considerable detail. You got three holes drilled in the aluminum, and you got pink rods sticking out, and they're all exactly parallel with one another and 90 degrees to the window pane. Obviously manufactured, however it may have been done. And if we disagree on how it was done, we agree that it was manufactured.
That was manufactured, and you're right. You've been right for years, Jim. You're all good. Everything's fine. You've been right for a long time. It's just a matter of how these guys pull this off, because I think there's different groups doing different things of how they decide to do.
I mean, well, to be honest, like all these things that have happened in the past, you know, for a good example, we're just talking about JFK. You know, once this happened, I mean, everyone thought, well, that's too crazy. No way our own government would be, you know, any way involved in the assassination of JFK. But, well, nothing is impossible, is what I'm saying.
It's very interesting in all these cases. Once a government takes a stand, it's locked in. I had a very, very interesting conversation with James Files, who claims to have been the second gunman on the grassy knoll. This, I think, was in accordance with the House Select Committee that claimed Lee had fired these three shots, but there was a second gunman who, by coincidence, was on the grassy knoll. I believe that's a role for which James Files has been cast. He drove up from Chicago with his wife, and I took him out to dinner at my favorite steakhouse, and we had a wonderful conversation. I like the guy tremendously, very intelligent. The point he made twice that stuck with me was, once the government is locked in, it will never change. So that's why you got the lone gunman. We know there were eight shooters, right. No lone gunman. Lee was actually in the doorway, can't have even been one of the shooters, but they're locked in. They got 19 Islamic terrorists. Well, we know a half a dozen or more of these guys turned up alive and well and made contact with the British press the following day. Therefore, the list cannot be correct, but the FBI won't change it. And however much evidence I might adduce about Sandy Hook, the government is going to try to stand pat, which is why I was willing to go through the process of having all my evidence in a court of law, which I believe would provide a formal vindication of what happened, and now I've had to go all the way to the Supreme Court to have a shot at it, because the lower courts were corrupt by this improper summary judgment process that allows them to impose their subjective judgment on the evidence and decide that it's, you know, unreasonable and therefore not worthy of consideration as though it didn't even exist. So I've had quite a slogging through all this, but I think it may come to success if they grant my writ on the 5th. And by the way, it's heard then by the court on the 2nd. On the 3rd and the 4th, I'm conducting my third annual False Flag and Conspiracy Conference. I got 26 presentations, 24 speakers over the 2 days, jam-packed. You can't believe how good the speakers are. You can find the whole lineup on my blog. Go to jameshfetzer.org and check out 2022 False Flags and Conspiracies Virtual Conference 3-4 December. And you'll find the whole thing, links to where you can get tickets and the whole bit. But it's just a very impressive group of speakers, and it's going to be broadcast live. And you have two ticket observations. One, just you can watch it but not participate. The other, you're in the Zoom room and you can put questions, just as the chat room is doing here. You can put questions and I'll field the questions. And if I find some that I think are appropriate, the last 5 minutes of the presentation are going to be devoted to questions. So you'll have that nice opportunity if you pick that option. Call it B if you like. Meanwhile, that's totally different than we had in Arizona, where if you couldn't get your ballot to scan, you put it in door number 3, which turned out to be a trash bin. So your ballot just got burned up. I mean, it's just disgusting what's going up. And I'm burned up about what happened in Arizona. And I'm burned up about what's happening to the United States, because in the name of defending democracy, the Democrats have been stealing our precious heritage right out from under us, and they are continuing to do so. The appointment of this new scumbag by the DOJ to be a special counsel investigating Trump and January 6th is just outrageous and offensive to the max.
Yes, as you said, only 17% of Maricopa County election day voters were Democrat, only 23% of the primary election day voters were Democrat, but Democrats are winning 50%. Now, that is crazy. And a caller, anything else you'd like to add before we cut you loose?
Well, actually, Jim would love the county council they had in Maricopa County, because the people there were yelling at the county people. It was quite funny because the county people knew it was coming, and they were telling people that children might be watching, so please do not swear at us. They made most of us out there and dealt with it. It was hilarious.
Well, I think we're fortunate to have this magnificent Carrie Lake as our champion there. She's very savvy, very smart, very articulate, and she knows her shit. So
I'm weary of her a little bit because
caller doesn't like her
before she decided. Sorry.
Oh, we just said that the caller does not like her.
Well, no, because before she decided to go on this particular thing when she was in the news,
right?
she was an Obama supporter.
Really?
And voted Democrat.
Well, let me tell you, don't hold that against her. I was an Obama supporter. I voted Democrat. I even voted for Bill Clinton twice. When Donald Trump came on the scene, it was a breath of fresh air. I would put her in the same category with me. I grew up as a JFK FDR Democrat. Well, I believe in the social safety network, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation, programs that actually help the American people. If it were not for Social Security, I today could not be making ends meet. So I'm with Carrie Lake. I mean, we have seen the light, believe me. She's a Trump supporter, and so am I.
Carrie Lake was an Obama insider. And it's interesting because there's now complaints coming up about that. Well, I'm not necessarily against the gal. I really don't care. But there's a bunch of stuff coming up now where what she's going to do now, she's going to go ahead and ride that entire wave of doing all of those, like the Trump tour things, making money on that. That Trump tour thing that they're making money on that thing is a huge operation. I don't think look, it's bad, but you see, I don't think that basically that we should actually, like, let's say, go ahead and make a Bible thumper camp.
I see.
Out of politics.
Well, you're making claims I'm not in a position to verify, but I'm open to it. I mean, all of our reasoning should be tentative and fallible.
This is my opinion.
We're willing to revise our opinion based on new evidence or alternative hypotheses.
I'm just pointing at it, saying, Jim, look at it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good
of course. Work. Right. Because I'm not going to say anything for certain, but it just looks that way because it looks a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
It would take some to convince me that Carrie Lake isn't the real deal, but I sure am open to new evidence and alternative hypotheses. And you did brilliant work in calling up about verifying there was no internet activity. I congratulate you for that. Well done.
Did you see the change in the everybody said that there was a change in the Google Earth?
Over what?
Over
enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and